And it's KVC Arts Now on KVCR Arts and Entertainment, as well as the people and places providing it. I'm David Fleming, welcoming Dr. Lisa Lindley, CEO of Coachella Valley Symphony. Lisa, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Well, we're going to be hearing about the organization, that is, of Coachella Valley Symphony. But first, a little bit about you, please. You're a medical doctor. Where do you practice, please?
I am. I have a private practice in Rancho Mirage, California.
Okay. And now, I'm not sure about the age of the announcement that I saw, but I can't really proceed much further without asking about your book, Hormones, Diets, and Sex. Oh, my. I'm a Wizard of Oz fan, so that caught my eye. Now, is it out now, or is it just about to be out?
It's not out yet. I haven't finished that. And that actually came out of a lecture that I did. I'm a gynecologist, and I stated that that lecture came out of the three most common questions in my office. You know, how do I lose weight? What do I do about my sex drive? You know, And what about my hormones? So the three most common questions in my office. And I developed a lecture off of that and then thought I should just expand on that and put it into a book. So
it's just from that one lecture or from a series of lectures? I know you've got an FAQ at your personal website. This is separate from the symphony.
Well, I had one lecture specifically with that title, but I had series of lectures also focusing on weight. I am also board certified in obesity medicine.
Mm.
I obtained that because so many of my patients were interested in losing weight over the years. And in 2013, I did some additional work and became certified in obesity medicine just to get more tools to help my patients. And then I did, over the years, a series of lectures specifically on weight loss and, in fact, did a class at my local hospital for about 7 years called Lunch and Lose, which I did one day a week at lunch at Eisenhower Medical Center.
And is that all surrounding, let's say, just diets and weight loss, obesity in general, or is it tied into, well, I mean, let's just say the things that you're mentioning are very much associated with menopausal or perimenopausal time in one's life. Is that what this is all focused on or around?
Well, it's interesting because certainly all of those issues can affect a woman at any point in her life.
Mm.
Yes, we think about some of those. We think about weight gain with menopause, and that does happen. We think about a change in sex drive at menopause, and that does happen. But hormones are a lifelong issue for women, and so they have questions all throughout their life. They don't generally go on hormone replacement until after menopause, but they have questions throughout their life. And so a lot of those were not specifically related to menopause. And certainly women and men gain weight throughout their life. And the lecture series was not just geared toward women. I had couples who would come, men who would come, because it was just very practical solutions of how to make day-to-day changes that would make a difference. I would say you can make a lot of small changes and then they'll add up, as opposed to trying to do one huge thing, like tell yourself you're going to exercise 2 hours a day and hardly eat anything. You know, you can't maintain that. But if you make multiple small changes, then they'll add up and work for you. So I tried to make a very user-friendly program for patients with small changes in the ways they ate and the way they would move, you know.
Oh, that's fantastic. So, people don't generally cut back on something. They generally talk about getting rid of it entirely. And one, that's harder to do. And two, I don't know if it's such a realistic target. It's so much easier to, instead of declaring and suddenly doing that 2 hours a day that you brought up, you could easily do 15 minutes a day or 10 minutes while you're cooking.
Correct.
Even. You can be doing stretches and lunges while you're waiting for the egg to flip. So,
And you know, 10 minutes three times a day is the same as 30 minutes all at once.
That's right.
So if you divide things into manageable increments, you can do that. Putting a little peddler under your desk at work, or having a treadmill desk, or just taking a walk on your break instead of sitting down and looking at your phone, right? Which is what we do so much of the time now. So little things that would add up, we would talk about that. And now we have all these devices that can track our activity and our steps, and you can have a little competition with yourself.
Oh, that's right.
And your watch, you know?
Yeah.
And like you said, yes, you can tell an alcoholic not to drink. You can't tell someone with a food addiction not to eat.
That's a great
point. They have to eat. And so you have to tell them how to eat differently. And still, it's difficult if somebody truly has a food addiction or a sugar addiction, which there is very much of that. it's very hard sometimes to make changes. So the class was helpful also because there was weekly accountability. And of course now, since I've been doing those classes on a regular basis, we now have all these GLP agonists, which help patients with cravings and also with managing hunger. So that has revolutionized weight loss.
Fantastic. And now the website, Dr. Lisa Lindley, that is to say Dr. Lisa Lindley, L-I-N-D-L-E-Y. I recently spoke with someone who is the CEO of an organization. They came in as CEO. So how did you become involved? Did you come in as CEO, or were you on the board in one capacity and then becoming, you know, eventually? Tell us your story in relation to the symphony.
Sure. So as we discussed for a bit, that I am a doctor, but I also am a singer. And I grew up singing and dancing and did music and theater during college and after college. Then here in the desert, I actually worked with the Steinway Society a little bit. They had a Doctors of the Desert in concert, and we would do a fundraiser and sing and raise money for scholarships. And one of my patients came to that, and she played cello in the symphony. She was the first chair. And she said, wow, I had no idea that you sang. Would you ever sing with the symphony? And so through that, I ended up actually performing with the Coachella Valley Symphony for the first time in 2012. And then in 2014, I joined their board. And I guess about a year later, I actually became president of their board.
Okay.
I've been involved with them as a board member since 2014.
Okay, and now as CEO. Now, you know what? Something that I hadn't even thought of until this moment, and in all honesty, of all the musicians that, I mean, there's been hundreds, but very few of them have been also medical or scientific professionals. And I, going back to something that I did probably in the early 90s with Dr. Ted Bordofsky, just because I know what a small world this is. But is there any correlation that you've read about between science and music? That is, people in there, you know, whether this is a left brain, right brain thing or what. But it seems like there had been some discussion, maybe not on the academic level, that there was some correlation between people in the sciences and music.
Absolutely. And there's so many connections there. And I actually have lectured on that topic as well, the connection between music and medicine. Where do I begin on that? There are a few different stories. First of all, one of the things the Coachella Valley Symphony has is a scholarship program. We have a youth symphony, several components of our youth symphony, and we offer scholarships. But there's a lot of data that children who are involved with music do better in school. They concentrate better. Music is actually math, if you break it down to music theory.
Yeah.
But children who are involved in music do better in school. That's been shown in multiple studies. And I think it's partly because the music does something to the brain, and it's partly being involved with a program where you're creating a project that's musical, not just by yourself, but with other people. So you're working in conjunction, and there's the camaraderie. So they end up with friendships out of that. It keeps kids out of trouble. It just does so much for a developing brain. So there's that. And then also, medically, with Alzheimer's patients, you've probably heard stories how they can't speak, they can't remember things, but you put a lady down in front of a piano and she starts to play, and nobody in the facility knew she could play. And she plays like she has never been away from the piano. So you can use music, you know, we talk about the neuroplasticity of the brain also, and music can be used as a tool actually to work with the brain and heal the brain. Often they'll have music in post-operative recovery rooms, and it's been shown to reduce pain after surgery and calm patients. I have music playing lightly in the background of my office because I think it's just calming for patients.
Nice.
And there's data to support that. That's not just my thought. There's data to support that. And patients will often comment what a nice environment that it is. Sometimes they mention the music. Often they don't tie it to any one thing. It's just so nice here. It's so peaceful. It's partly, I'm sure, the music in the background.
They realize there's a peaceful aspect, but they don't necessarily know what that is, just that it is. That's phenomenal.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's ideal, right?
Yeah, truly. Yeah. I mean, if they know what it is, that's still a level of cognizance, which is taking them away from, I guess, not having to think about anything. So that's really
Correct.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I love that. So I combine my two worlds in many ways.
That is absolutely great.
I feel very blessed to be able to do that. So I sang with the symphony first in 2012, which was allowing me to enjoy my musical world while still being a doctor. Then after that, I really felt like I wanted to give back. So that's why I came onto the board. I felt like the Coachella Valley Symphony had given me this amazing gift. In all my years of singing, I sang with a jazz band in college. I performed with small little groups, you know, either with a piano player or with a small group, but I never even imagined in my wildest dreams that I would sing with a full symphony orchestra
in
a theater auditorium. So they allowed me to perform a bucket list item that was never even on my bucket list, kind of beyond even dreaming to put on my bucket list. And I was so grateful for that gift that I wanted to give back to them. And I feel like symphonic music is so important in our community. So I wanted, if possible, to expand their footprint and their reach in our valley. So many people didn't even know that the Coachella Valley Symphony existed, and I wanted them to know.
Yeah, nice. I'm David Fleming in conversation with Dr. Lisa Lindley, CEO of the Coachella Valley Symphony Orchestra. Just ahead, more about the symphony, as well as the final concert of the season, the Best of Stage and Screen. That's Friday, April 25th at 7:30 p.m. at the McCallum Theater in Palm Desert. More at cvsymphony.com, and more as KVCR continues. And now, an announcement, or a reminder to some, the on-air portion of our spring membership campaign begins April 7th, and while our overall goal, that is a dollar amount, hasn't been announced yet, we may easily be able to end the drive early if enough people come forward with a pledge of financial support. Add to that, with certain considerations currently going on at the national level, it's more important than ever before to join in with the community that supports this public radio station, making sure that we have the funding to continue if other sources are minimized or stripped away. That's your public radio home. Give at kvcrnews.org/support, or the same number that's been with us for decades, 877-512-8843. Again, kvcrnews.org/support or 877-512-8843. Back now with KVC Arts, I'm David Fleming in conversation with Dr. Lisa Lindley, CEO of the Coachella Valley Symphony Orchestra. Just ahead, more about the symphony, as well as the final concert of the season. Always a fan favorite. We'll get to that in just a bit. First, Lisa, talk please about the history of the Coachella Valley Symphony, the when, the how, and the why. This goes back to the 90s.
Yes, our founder was Jeanette Benoci, and she founded the Coachella Valley Symphony in 1993. She was a trumpet player and a fabulous musician and really just an extremely dynamic person. I had the opportunity to meet her once in 2012 when I sang with the symphony, and she was really a force to be reckoned with. And she founded the symphony and made sure it survived for many years to still be around in 2012 and then in 2014 when I came on the board. During her tenure, the Buddy Rogers Youth Symphony was started in 1995 thanks to a very generous gift from movie star and musician Buddy Rogers.
So this would be part of the education aspect, I would imagine. The mission for the symphony, beyond concerts, there's also music education. So is that part then of the Buddy Rogers Youth Symphony, the educational aspect?
Yeah, it is part. I'll start at the beginning of kind of how I open a show. I do some opening remarks, and I always start by telling the audience a little bit about the symphony. So can I start by maybe telling your audience
That'd
a little
perfect.
Bit?
That'd be perfect. Perfect.
Because the Coachella Valley Symphony is comprised of an adult orchestra, which everybody anticipates. But then we also have three different youth programs, and all of our youth programs are free of charge to students and their families. So we have the Buddy Rogers Youth Symphony, which was started in 1995, as I said, thanks to a generous gift from movie star and musician Buddy Rogers. And then in 2018, we actually added a Buddy Rogers String Orchestra that are the very beginning string players. For the Youth Symphony, we expect them to have a little musical experience and knowledge. For the Buddy Rogers String Orchestra, it can be their first time to pick up an instrument.
Oh.
Very beginners. And then we also had a wonderful donor, Dr. Barbara Kaufman, who made a donation and allowed us to establish an instrument lending library. So if we have someone interested in our programs, they don't even have to try to find or rent an instrument. We really don't want any financial barriers for these students and families. So they check out an instrument just like you would check out a book. And so we have the Buddy Rogers Youth Symphony and the Beginning String Orchestra. And then we also have string classes after school. Mm. And we send teachers right now into four different schools in the Coachella Valley. So we provide the teacher, and it can just be an after-school learning activity, and the students will have instruments there. And we have found that to be very popular. And again, that's free. And then the third component of our youth programs is the individual youth scholarships that we award. And every year we give anywhere between probably 10 to 15 scholarships that usually gives that student a semester of lessons. If they have trouble finding an instructor, we will help connect them, but they can also choose their own instructor. Or if they have been in Buddy Rogers for a while, they have some knowledge, they might use that money to go to a summer intensive program.
Oh, nice.
So just anything like that that we feel is appropriate and would advance their musicianship, they can bring that program to us. So we've sent them up to Idlewild or to other camps throughout Southern California, and we find that that has been excellent. So we really try to be full circle. And the other thing we do with these young musicians, once they reach a certain level, they can actually perform in the adult orchestra alongside their mentors. And I think that is a very unique thing that we do. I don't know of another orchestra that does that. There may be others, but I'm not aware of them. There's certainly not another one out here. But I think you can never learn to that degree by sitting in the full orchestra next to a mentor, really being out of your league and having to step up to this occasion. And so now they're not just with their youth conductors that they've been training with for all of these years, but they're with John Mario, the conductor of the symphony, and this is the real deal. But it's something also I think they can strive to.
Absolutely. How are the scholarships awarded? Is it done by audition, or somebody writes, say, a letter of need, then they meet with the board? I mean, how are these handed out?
We open an application process every year. It's available to everybody in our Buddy Rogers or the Beginning String program. The teachers make them aware of the application process, and then they fill it out, and the teachers really make recommendations. As long as that student is involved and showing up for the rehearsals, clearly, if someone came to one rehearsal and then hasn't really shown up and now filled out an application, they might not be awarded a scholarship. But if they're working hard and coming every week and show a desire to learn and a true interest in their instrument, then we want to give as many scholarships as we can afford.
Beautiful.
We are going to make every effort to give scholarships. And sometimes if we have been planning to give 10, but we had 12 applicants who are all worthy, we will find two more and manage to give 12 or 13.
Fantastic. Now, you mentioned that free of cost, that is free for people like, say, with the instrument checkout program, for example. It doesn't cost a person anything to come in and be a part of this, but it's also the concerts are free for the public to come see. And this is courtesy of the city of Rancho Mirage. I think that's another really, really cool aspect of it. So who picks the season? Is it Mario? Is it the decision of one person, or is it a collective, the board? How does this come about?
It's a collective, and okay. We have a music committee that includes John Mario, our librarian, our orchestra manager, and a few other musicians from the orchestra. And then the board weighs input. You know, I think we have a wonderful board, and sometimes it occurs almost by accident. We have a couple of ideas, something comes in front of us, and we get ideas, and we start throwing things around.
Now, the final concert of the season, this one is Friday, April 25th, 7:30 p.m. showing. This is going to be another big one and always the fan favorite. Please talk about this
one.
For
sure. Yes, that is the best of stage and screen, and it is a concert theme that we do every year. So this is a recurring concert. The content changes, of course, because there's a lot of wonderful music to choose from, but it has always been a sellout because people like to hear music they recognize. And they all recognize music from stage and screen. And you'll also sometimes be amazed at songs that have been used in stage and screen that you maybe didn't even know about. You didn't know that was used in a movie. Maybe it was a classical song that was used in the background of a movie, you know, or then there's Quentin Tarantino who throws in all this really classical music in the background, and he can do a lot with that, and just about anything goes. But it has well-loved favorites over the years.
And is this always, or at least often, a mix of the classic with the contemporary?
Yes.
So we
always.
Will get a little bit of Casablanca and then a little bit of Frozen, something like that.
Yes, exactly. There can often be Disney, like for instance, we just mix things in there all the time. We have done some of the Star Wars because that works with stage and screen, right?
Yeah.
So those are things we've done before. There are a lot of things. Just about everything works.
So with this, and again, this is a mix of the classic with the contemporary, I'd love to know of any pieces that when you know of this concert, it's almost a sure thing that this kind of thing, this would be included, for example. Let's hear about some of the big ones from last year.
Okay, excellent. So Mamma Mia,
Of course, yeah.
Which is certainly more contemporary. And then there was The Magnificent Seven, Symphonic Suite by Elmer Bernstein, right?
Yeah.
Nocturne from Mendelssohn's Midsummer Night's Dream.
Sweet.
Yeah. The Fidelio Overture by Beethoven.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
The Blue Danube Waltz, which was from the motion picture 2001 Space Odyssey by Johann Strauss. Wow. So you've got the old and the new, and then a Ben-Hur Suite by Miklos Rosa, Prelude in March, and Remembrances from Schindler's List. And Symphony No. 5, Finale by Tchaikovsky.
Wow. So that would be the finale piece, most certainly. Wow.
Right. So that just gives you a little taste of some of what we do and how John Mario is actually a master at mixing and combining.
Does he put together medleys or does he give us full pieces or full movements, let's say?
He does some of both.
So. Okay, beautiful. Perfect.
Yeah.
So again, this final concert of the season, that's Friday, April 25th, 7:30 p.m., the best of stage and screen. And this one will be at the McCallum Theater in Palm Desert.
Exactly.
We mentioned the Buddy Rogers Youth Symphony. Now, another aspect to the symphony, who and or what are the Coachella Valley Symphony ambassadors, please?
Those are some ladies in our community that have always helped us put on events. They sometimes help with ushering, handing out programs, or if we are doing a cocktail party event, they may help us with table decorations and things like that. So they just are ambassadors for the symphony in the community.
Phenomenal.
But I do want to mention a few things. Please. I want to mention, first of all, some other sponsors for our season, because we did touch on that our concerts have been free for the last several years.
Yes.
The city of Rancho Mirage is primarily responsible for that because they really wanted to provide a quality entertainment program and also, as we have discussed, often educational program for the members of our community.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted these concerts to be free for the community. Again, like we feel about our youth programs, they didn't want barriers to community members attending these events.
Sure.
So it's always a packed evening and people love it. But the City of Rancho Mirage has been a wonderful sponsor for us. Eisenhower Medical Center has been a season sponsor for many years. Both the Alwyn and the Berger Foundation have supported us over the years. Dr. Barbara Kaufman and ROI Investments have supported us and many other individuals in the community. We could not do it without the support of our community on so many different levels.
Beautiful.
So it's thanks to their community that people get to attend this for free. The music isn't free. Someone has to pay for it. And for the people who attend, I just hope they always recognize that it's a gift they've been given.
That's an excellent, excellent point. I really hope so as well.
Yeah.
And now for more information on ways to support the Coachella Valley Symphony, well, one can call either 760-360-2222. I also have cvsymphony.com for the website. Now, Lisa, is there a Facebook presence or Instagram? Any tweeters among you?
We do have Facebook.
Is it just simply CV Symphony, Coachella Valley Symphony? What do people need to look for there on
Coachella
Facebook?
Coachella Valley Symphony.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Can I throw one little other statement
in? Of course,
of
course.
The fact that we have programs, we say sometimes from 8 to 80, it's interesting, I think, to note that some of our musicians have been playing with us since our orchestra began, and one of those musicians right now is one of our teachers in our after-school program, and she's teaching her own grandchildren, so how interesting is that?
Oh, wow.
And also, one of our cellists right now in the adult orchestra came up through our youth programs, and he's now one of our principal cellists, and he also teaches some of our scholarship winners. So he was a scholarship winner himself, and now is teaching some of those students. So I just feel like that is some of the full circle perpetuating the art of live symphony music that we do with the Coachella Valley Symphony.
Oh, completely.
So not only developing musicians, but developing teachers. So I feel like it's really important.
Absolutely. I've spoken with so many musicians about, oh, say, people from Kansas. You know, they appreciate the 60 and 70-year-olds coming because they were fans when the music was new, or the people that discovered Carry On My Wayward Son on Guitar Hero or something like that. So we've got the old and the young coming to these same concerts, the doo-wop concerts, same thing. But this takes it a step further. We've got the people that were kids playing and now with their grandchildren playing. Incredible.
Yes. And some of the kids that came up now teaching the next generation of kids already. And I feel like that's so important. And not only are we providing an outlet where musicians can perform, but also an outlet where those musicians can cultivate skills as a teacher and as a leader. And I think that's really wonderful just for life in general.
That's right. Not every musician goes to the educational or the professorial track, yet they have it in them, something to pass on. So this allows them to do
right.
that. Beautiful. Wow.
And we've had several students come up through our program and then play when they go off to college. And I also love that. I'm one of those. I didn't make my living in music, but music and my love of music and performing has always been very important in my life. I tell people it's my therapy. It's my outlet. So if we don't provide someone with a career, maybe we provide them with lifelong therapy. And there's nothing wrong with that either.
You got that right.
And it makes everything else work.
That's right.
Music is medicine.
That's a great way to leave people with that. Music is medicine.
Well, I hope so. Yeah,
truly.
Music is medicine.
That was Dr. Lisa Lindley, CEO of the Coachella Valley Symphony Orchestra. Again, the final concert of the season is the Best of Stage and Screen, Friday, April 25th at 7:30 p.m. at the McCallum Theater in Palm Desert. More at cvsymphony.com. Also, we didn't get the names of the conductors for the Youth Symphony out there. That's Dr. Jason Powell and Cindy Brogan. And with that, we wrap up another edition of KVC Arts. Thanks again to Lisa Lindley. And here at KVCR, thanks to Rick Dulock, Sandy Hodela, Zach Mays, Champ Chipman, and Sharina Wad. Many past KVC Arts can be found through iTunes, NPR One, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. And most past shows are at kvcrnews.org/arts. Music beds and themes heard on KVC Arts composed and performed by Sean Longstreet. So thanks to Sean as well. I'm David Fleming. Thanks especially to you for listening and for your support. And with that said, a reminder that the on-air portion of our spring membership campaign begins April 7th. And with your help, we can possibly hit our goal and shorten the drive. This public radio station may be facing cuts at the federal level, and we need your help to ensure that this public radio station, your public radio home, not only remains strong, but remains in the region. Please give, and whether it's a one-time gift or setting up a sustaining membership, thank you for doing your part. Give at kvcrnews.org/support or call 877-512-8843. Again, that's kvcrnews.org/support or 877-512-8843. And thank you so much.